This is Pure Decking for Thursday, July the 10th, 2014. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and just how much booze it takes to sleep at night. I'm Morps, and tonight we have the BSV. The Madman. Here's one. I didn't load enough sounds on the soundboard.
I forgot to clip Sard's one up too, but yeah. Lucky he's not here.
The RU.
Toasty!
And I think that's it. So, I'm going straight for the Johnny Walker tonight. And, of course, I've got a different audio setup than... I've got a new audio rig. It's a little bit different. Should be cleaner. But... if we have issues with it, we have issues with it. So there's that. Are you? What do you got, man?
What have I got? I've got a still drunk wife on the couch from 3 a.m. waking me up this morning coming in. It was so much fun saying, you realize a woman of your age shouldn't be doing this.
Oh. Ways to start a fight, 101. Madman, what do you got, man?
I've got Woodford Reserve on the rocks.
Outstanding choice. Outstanding. BSV, what do you got, man?
Sadly, nothing.
Two drink minimum, man. Come on. Let's
Hey. I'm propping my wife up here. They had at least 7 bottles of wine between 3 women. Do the math.
Are they large women or not large women?
Not large women.
Okay, that's that's
that
important.
Sounds like somebody could have gotten laid by 3 women.
No.
I was doing math, and that's what I came up with as an answer.
Now, just remember, people, 2 drinks doesn't mean 2 bottles.
I don't know. Depends on your definition. I mean, if you have really something, what if you're drinking something not very strong? I mean...
What if you have a liver the size of the average cow?
You know, you had a horrible biking accident when you were a child and they gave you a cow liver.
Please consult your doctor if that is your issue.
You may have other problems than the amount of alcohol you consume.
Maybe you run a Tumblr blog and you believe you're turning into a cow. Okay, that's enough. I'm going to stop.
My inner Bessie is fronting.
We have enough news to make us depressed. We don't need to do it ourselves.
I have a sudden urge to put a bolt gun to my head.
Wow. So, sorry I missed last week's show. I was actually pretty much unable to get out of bed. I was very damn sick. So, sorry about that. Shit happens. Not really much I could do about it, truth be told. So, yeah. Also, like I said, new audio rig, so any issues with that, I'm sorry. But it appears to be working, so I'm not going to worry too much about that.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, man, I just opened up a picture that was just sent to me by Fox and Sard. Sard, you really need to think about occupational health and safety. Like, yes, I understand you're wearing gloves, but you're also perched probably... Well, 12 foot in the air on just some really narrow beams with nails sticking out of them everywhere.
What is he, planking or something?
No, he's doing his back deck. Like, he's crowbarring off what looks to be planks of his back deck perched 12 foot in the air just on standing on beams that nails are still poking out of him. But at least he's wearing gloves, kids.
Should probably remove the nails at some point.
How about not removing the deck pieces first and using them for footing?
See, the part he's not telling you is he's only wearing gloves.
That can be done with a couple hours in Photoshop. But... Wow. Like, not to criticize you're doing it wrong, man, but you're doing it wrong. Oh, my God. But that's where those two are, if you're wondering.
All right. So, anyways, let's go ahead and hit our discussion topic. Torn Freak had an article that got me thinking about it, but it's always fun to rail on them. So, you know, of course, the Mafia DMCA hit job letters, right? Everybody knows what they are at this point.
Yes.
I've bitched about them often. Well, Torrent Freak had an article. Apparently, some like 30,000 of the damn things were sent out, and they weren't real, but they had malware on the end of them. So my first thought is, like, most, the average person who gets these things, they go in their spam filter and they ignore them. And so it's like, you know, it's not a fantastic way to send malware. But there are a lot of places that are, by law, required to open these things up and respond to them. So if you're sending somebody an email that they are legally obligated to open and it has a virus in it.
Wow. I
mean, that's kind
unconsequent. Yeah, unthought about consequences, eh?
That's kind of a dick move. I mean,
you've got to target ISP providers and industries that are required to respond to these.
Doctor's offices, dentist's office.
Well, the article reads more like they were just kind of blasting them out to God and everybody, not actually targeting people who have to open these things.
They should have been sending them to, like, Time Warner and Google and every university on the planet.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, that's just what I was thinking. Is like, this could actually be really devastating because you have people who are obligated to open these things. They don't – it's like when I worked at a university, you didn't have a choice. You were obligated under both the DMCA and the Higher Education Reinvestment Act or Opportunity Act, whatever the hell the damn thing was called. A law they passed in 2010 as part of federal funding requirements, universities are required to respond to DMCA. Like, if they don't do DMCA takedowns, if they don't respond to them, they can actually lose their federal funding.
Nice.
So.
And you could get malware on, like, backbones of the internet.
Yeah.
Time Warner has to open that.
Well, somebody who works in there, so... Well,
yeah.
But you're right, yeah, somebody has to open that to read it, and website operators and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, like YouTube, people who run YouTube, they have to read them. I don't think they do. I think they have their own system. But so
then it'd get to the point where you'd quarantine it part of your email server, remove it off the entire network, and then open it.
Well, I had a script that would strip the text out of them and process them, so I didn't actually open most of them. But if the script didn't run, yeah, I had to open them. So, you know, if you sent me one that wouldn't process when I worked at a school, yeah, I would have been legally obligated to open an email with a bum attachment in it. So.
Damn, opportunities missed.
You know, this is an excellent attack if you targeted it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. You know, of course, these things are just creating opportunities for fraud all around. Not to mention this where they start, right? Because I mean, DMCA takedowns are, you know, a shakedown in the first place, right? So they're in my mind, they're already kind of questionable as far as the legality. But you know, these fake requests are becoming more and more common. They just blast the things out blind, and this is the people who are, you know, the companies that actually do DMCA takedowns, you know, for another company. They actually blast them out blind anyways, just hoping to get settlements from people. Like, they don't have any clue who you are when you open the email. They just, you know, they expect you to contact them, say, yes, I'm such and such, and I got a letter. It's like, oh, good, you owe us money. If you hadn't told them who you were, they'd never know. So
I wonder how legal, not even how legal this is, how likely I am to get prosecuted.
Well, you know, it's got to, as many companies have sprung up to manage these things, it's got to be a viable business. Like, somebody has got to be making money off that.
Yeah, it's easy. You just offshore it over to India where you can rent an entire fucking office out for $5,000 a month with 100 staff.
Yeah.
This shit is totally viable. Same as the phone scamming, the email scams of, like, I'm a Nigerian prince, please send me bank account monies. You've won the Mexican lottery.
Yeah,
didn't even know you had a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was happy thinking about ways of scamming people, are you, and now you're making me sad because I had to deal with all of those. Everyone you just listed, I personally had to tell someone, you're fucking stupid. Don't do this.
Oh, I got a whole more. I got a list more of them if you want. Your phone number's now changed. You've been looking at child pornography on the internet. You have to pay a fine now.
My favorite is the, you know, due to the damage caused by the oil companies, been selected to receive part of the settlement. When I worked at the school, I had somebody walk in my office with this email printed out wanting to know if it was real or not. And of course, you know, one look at it, no. Are you sure? No. He comes back later with somebody from the VP's office saying, can you look at this and see if it's real or not? It's not real. Well, can you just look? So I look it up, and it's like, okay, fine. We punch it into Google. The first 20 results, this is a scam. This is not real. Do not respond to these.
Better double check.
Yeah.
Put it in Bing.
Well, this guy really thought he was going to get like $10,000 or something like that. So.
And all he had to send was a $1,000 processing fee.
It's like, just redirect your tuition.
Yeah.
So, can we just? I'd love to, because it's also being used for censorship and really poor business practices. Psychros sent me a version of the story. The one I have is from PC Mag. Qualcomm hired a company called Cyvalence to do their...
Cyvalence?
C-Y-V-E-I-L-L-A-N-C-E. Cyvalence.
I wish it had started with a P.
Pivalence?
No, he's going with the Greek psi.
Oh,
psychic surveillance.
Yeah. Ah, oh, I got you. I got you.
We're reading your minds and your email.
Thank you, Madman.
That's so we're going to start a new consultancy because that is an awesome name. So, all right. Anyways, they hired out Cyvalence. Cyvalence found 116 files across 45 accounts on GitHub. So they sent out this massive takedown on GitHub. Well, it turns out all these files were forks of a file that was posted by QCA, or Qualcomm Atheros, which is the company itself. So everyone who had forked Qualcomm's open source drivers got a DMCA takedown. Now, and GitHub pulled all this stuff when they got the takedowns because, you know, they have to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of sucks. But so they pull all this, and now, of course, you know, Qualcomm got so much bad press they've reversed it. Said, oh, that was a mistake. You know, the company we hired out didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, you look at this, DMCA takedowns on, I mean, these things are common ways of shutting down talks at hacker conferences. They kill YouTube videos with them constantly. You know, articles, anything a copyright holder really doesn't like. There's a reason you don't see any Nintendo videos being monetized on YouTube. And it's because Nintendo sends a DMCA complaint and kills it the moment anybody puts up a video with Mario, if they put ads on it. And it's stupid because there's lots of original and derivative work out there, and it would all fall under fair use. Nintendo doesn't care. And the way YouTube and the DMCA works, they don't have to, and they can kill it. So that the censorship via DMCA is just as bad as the malware crap. So I don't know. That article got me thinking on it. I just kind of wanted to whinge a little bit.
Yeah, and the censorship at hacker conferences, well, computer security conferences, hacker has a negative term. They're actually discussing how to fix the damn problems.
Oh yeah, there's lots of them who will get a talk shut down right before Black Hat or DEF CON or, you know, DerbyCon, pick your conference, right? There's lots of talks that get shut down, and sometimes it'll be the company just calling them and saying, hey, we really don't want you to talk about this. We don't have any kind of a fix in place yet. And, you know, if they call and work with them, that's fair ball, right? But that's usually not how that conversation goes. Usually it's, hi, you've violated all these laws, including our copyright on our code, and if you give this talk, we're going to sue your ass into the ground. So instead of calling and working with them, they send in the lawyers. and copyright's usually one of the first ones they yank to, you know, to try to control what information gets out. So, it's legally shaky, but they've got the money for lawyers and you don't. What do? You cave.
Well, you just keep going.
Yeah. And then face the courtroom.
And hope the Digital Freedom Foundation likes you, because they will help you with court costs. Yeah, otherwise,
there's a couple
you're
of
going
them.
To jail.
Yep.
Well, I'd like to see the entire court system ground or halt with people who just go, no, I'll have my day in court, thanks.
Oh, that'd be great.
And if you're articulate enough, you can just argue your own case.
Yeah.
Well, I had a fantastic conversation with a guy at work today that instead of elections, we should hold duels.
And, oh, I like that.
I was just, you know, the entire legal system should be predicated around, you know, as opposed to understanding of the law and history and who can find what twist and who can make what argument. Saber fights. You know, who's better with a sword?
Oh, so you just like to take us to the Middle East, the way they do business.
Well, I tell you, frivolous lawsuits would be a thing of the past.
Nah. They'll just get the best fighters for hire.
Yo.
Another way of doing it would be what Texas is talking about. Loser pays and there aren't any upfront costs.
Wow, that really would jam up the system.
Damn right.
So, no one pays until the end of the trial, and the loser's the one that pays.
So what happens at the very end of the trial? The person, you're like, oh, we withdraw the case. When, you know, if they're losing.
They still pay. Have to pay. Loser pays.
Ah.
You don't bring a frivolous lawsuit, because you're paying for it. Because, so, I'm being sued by Sony. Great. I'm now hiring the most expensive copyright lawyer in the United States. Sony retracts their lawsuit. They're still paying my legal fee.
No, that's an important distinction. I mean, I like
so
it.
You it's never going to pass. But
so you mean if they actually do this, law would actually be settled by law versus cash?
Yeah, that's why it's never going to pass.
Because you know what happened, Madman? You'd go up to the most expensive legal man of all time.
You're like, yeah, we're already working for them. Sorry, conflict of interest.
Something like that. Or so you go to the next guy and he's like, well, I'm not free for a couple of months, so sorry, I can't do your case. You go to the next dude and he's like, well, sorry, the other guys couldn't help you, but you know, for a couple hundred bucks, I may be persuaded to put this case down and take yours up.
The it just market system very... at work.
Well, then it changes the system straight back to the original way it is. Everyone pays a shit ton of money, then at the end somebody else has to pay out a heap of money. So in a sense, you've just created the same system.
It's cleaned up their medical malpractice. That went down, and that's one reason so many copyright cases are going for before Texas federal courts. It's because they passed that with medical malpractice, and all the medical malpractice lawyers are now taking up copyright law because they couldn't do medical malpractice anymore.
Okay, so we hire a really, really large barge. We tell them there's a party on it. See where I'm going with that.
I'm like,
create
this?
A whole new subspecies of penguins.
That they're called lawyers.
Oh, hell. I mean, look how poorly our government is running, and, you know, who's running that? Lawyers.
Well, the problem is they're not actually reading what the laws say. The original copyright and patent laws were more than sufficient. You just strike down everything that came after the Constitution was written.
Yeah, you know, Disney's got something to say about that, I'm sure.
And we can draw a cartoon of Mickey Mouse
User
sucking
in your
my
channel
cock.
Timed out.
Oh, well, we lost the RU. Guess the internet...
You upset Australia.
Yeah, we've upset Australia by talking about... well, let's see, we got about, 20 minutes in before we mentioned Mickey Mouse sucking a cock? I mean, that's...
I was trying to work it around sooner, but it just didn't happen. See, if I set up the joke with Mickey Mouse, I can't then have him suck my cock. It's just comedically wrong.
Violates the laws of comedy. Okay. Well, while we're waiting on RU to get back in, let's go up here to the first story here. Microsoft has issued an emergency update for most supported versions of Windows to prevent attacks that abuse recently issued digital certificates impersonating Google and Yahoo. Company officials warned undiscovered fraudulent credentials for other domains may still be in the wild. The OS currently has no reliable way to detect bogus credentials released into the wild. Thursday's unscheduled update revokes 45 highly sensitive secure sockets layer certificates that hackers managed to generate after compromising systems operated by the National Informatics Center of India. It's an intermediate CA whose certificates are automatically trusted by all versions of Windows. Millions of sites operated by banks, e-commerce companies, and other types of online services, such as blah, 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 blah. So, what happened was somebody got in to the National Informatics Center of India and issued a bunch of fake certificates for Google, Yahoo, and probably a bunch of other crap. Well, they figured out the Google and Yahoo ones. And, of course, Windows put out an update for their supported operating systems. Notice what did not get an update would be Windows XP. And they even said Windows Server 2003 cannot take an update to revoke the bad certs. So, yeah, you want to... I think Firefox uses its own certificate store, so you want to either get an updated copy of Firefox... or make sure you get this update out of band somehow. There's a couple of different articles about it. But pretty much you've got to watch Google and Yahoo for sure, and probably other sites, for odd behavior, because with the SSL certs floating around out there, it's entirely possible to do fraudulent servers and man-in-the-middle attacks and get no indication from the browser that you're talking to a bad server.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is it a bad idea to have operating systems just blindly trust companies, even if they're well-known companies?
It's a horrible idea, but it's the way SSL works. In fact, if you want to have some fun, go open up Internet Explorer, go to your Internet options, and look at just how many different CAs are automatically trusted by Windows out of the gate. Hell, I'm going to do it right now. Let's see.
Hell. Just for fun, open up Windows Explorer. Just for fun, go ahead and open it up. Go on, kids. Set that timer.
It's like, wow, look, it's Toolbar Simulator 2014.
It wants to know if I wanted it as my primary browser.
Well, mine just asked me if I wanted to run through the setup wizard. I don't think I've seen... I'm not sure I've ever actually opened Internet Explorer on this machine. Okay. Internet options. I believe it's under content, certificates.
Morphs publishers. Has a very bad virus.
Trusted root certificate authorities. Yeah, that's a long ass list. Let's see. GoDaddy, Thwart, GeoTrust. Actually, that list is shorter than it used to be.
But yeah, just go ahead and make that your primary browser there.
Yeah, that list is actually a lot shorter than it used to be. It used to be a lot longer than that. But, yeah, America Online root certificate, really?
That still exists?
Yep.
Oh, I'm so Googling that.
Okay. Well, so Windows has gotten a lot better. It used to be, especially on, like, Windows XP, you'd open it up and there'd be like hundreds of root CAs in there at trusted. So I don't know if it's just hiding a bunch of them or what. But anyways.
It's
so,
Internet Explorer.
Well, the thing is, it's not just IE. It's Windows trusts those certificates. And a lot of applications will use the Windows certificate store because it's easier to use an API than it is to write their own. You know, a lot of your chat programs, email clients, Outlook especially, and any of your Microsoft stuff is just going to use the Windows Store. Hell, Chrome uses the Windows Store, I think. So, yeah, just keep that in
mind. I think there should be a bit more of a barrier between your operating system and the browser. Like, can the browser trust it and the operating system say, "Fuck no"?
Well, on Mozilla keeps its own certificate store, or at least it used to. I'm pretty sure it still does. So, yeah, you can have the browser trust something and the operating system not. But
it might not be much security, but I do feel a little safer with that idea. Am I wrong?
Partly, but that's okay.
Okay.
Go ahead and feel that love and safety, man. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's a feeling you really shouldn't pretty much ever have, but that's okay.
If you're feeling warm, comfortable, and safety on the internet, there's a good chance you've already died.
Congratulations, you've gotten used to it. Now, okay, let's keep the warm and fuzzies going here. Next one up is from BGR.com. Senator Dianne Feinstein's new proposal, dubbed Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2014, or simply CISA, C-I-S-A, passed through the Senate Intelligence Committee on Wednesday, having been approved by a 12-3 vote. According to Senator Feinstein, CISA has undergone numerous changes compared to the original CISPA bill proposed, and changes should help ease the concerns of CISPA critics. Civil liberty groups such as the Center for Democracy and Technology disagree. Should CISA ultimately become law, it would allow companies to share private user data with federal and local law enforcement if the claim is made that it relates to any kind of alleged criminal activity that might be considered a cyber threat. The proposal would also allow authorities to set up wiretaps without having to go through any court system to obtain a warrant. This would essentially... Okay, I'm just going to summarize this bill right down. This bill would change... would basically make the word cybersecurity the same namshub as the word national security. As in, you know, when the federales show up and they say national security, you pretty much have to let them do what they want or they're going to drag your ass off to secret court. They're going to basically make cybersecurity the same word, where if they say cybersecurity, you're not going to be allowed to say no.
I can tell you this is a bad idea for many reasons.
Go right ahead.
It was supported by Dianne Feinstein. And if you look at her record in the Senate, you will know that she is a complete moron and a heinous bitch.
Don't hold back, madman.
Wow.
The other thing is, we already have too many laws that let the federal government bypass the Fourth Amendment, which is unlawful search and seizure. They should have to get a warrant. I don't care if 10 people are going to die. They're going to abuse it and probably murder a few hundred thousand.
Well,
nice, madman.
That's the sound of no one disagreeing with you. I've got nothing else to add. Madman just summed it up nicely there. Yeah, it's CISPA again. They've just changed the name on it, tweaked the details, and they're going to keep trying this law until they manage to sneak it in.
You know how they're going to sneak it in? They're doing it wrong. Anytime you want to sneak in a law, you don't put it in a bill that someone's going to attempt to read. You stick it in the budget. They're going to put this in the fucking budget.
But they haven't passed
a budget. Passed a budget. They haven't passed a budget since fucking Clinton.
No. Bush passed several. We haven't passed a budget since Obama was elected. And he
there you go, blaming Obama again.
Two houses of the or his party controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency, and he couldn't pass a fucking budget.
Why
are you picking on the little details?
Yeah, why are you picking on Obama, man?
Because I'm a racist. but back to this.
So
if they
want to
sneak it in, they'll put it in a budget bill. Because no one reads those, and everyone on both sides of the aisle wants somebody to grease their palms, and they do that with budget bills.
Yeah, that's how democracy works.
All right, I want to get away from the politics. Not that I disagree at all with what Madman's saying. I just kind of want to, you know, swerve away from that.
No, avoiding the
death
depression.
Threats to the wrong person. Go.
Well, we can move from the political back to the actual technical part of this. It's a bad idea because it's going to let them search everyone's computer
without a warrant
whenever they want.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because they are so so terrified of the concept that people can have communications without them having the ability to wiretap, intercept, or, you know, without them being able to just walk in and look at the books whenever they want.
Well, it's going to be horrible when it comes to free speech in any country that adopts this.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be chilling. It's going to be, oh, look what you said here. You're a domestic terrorist. We have to drag your ass off to jail.
I'm not a domestic terrorist. I just want to kill unborn children. Sorry, my politics is coming back through there. But that's what's going to be targeted. Anyone on either the extreme left or the extreme right, whichever party isn't in power, are going to abuse this bill.
The government hasn't shown previous wait.
I mean, I completely trust our government being partial and not applying laws evenly among everyone, right?
Yeah, let's go back to snail mail.
Yep, TCPIP via carrier pigeon. Okay.
Let's can we just every go time I want to discuss something on the internet, I mail them a flash drive.
There you go. I like that. Just don't screw up and mail them the wrong one. Can you send me that flash drive back? That had my finances on it.
Like, I don't know, but that had some great shots of me and my last girlfriend. Feel free to make copies. I'm proud of those.
Madman, I don't understand. All that's here is close-ups of your right hand.
Hey, did you see that penis in that right hand? That's hard, rigid white boy there. And I'm proud of that.
Just because you paint your nails don't make it transgender.
No.
No, I want to feel a little girlier.
I'm just going to rocket snail.
Wow, from the budget to that.
Wow.
I would like to point out, I didn't start that downward trend on either of the bad jokes I've made.
So, the next story here is from the Register. Apparently, you need to get the latest Flash upgrade pretty badly because the current version has a cross-site request forgery in it. According to the Switzerland-based Google engineer that turned up the vulnerability, Michelle Spaguglio? I don't mean to mispronounce that. I'm honestly not sure. I think it has too many vowels in it. Sites that are or were vulnerable to the attack included Google, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and eBay. I present Rosetta Flash, a tool for converting any Swift file to one composed of only alphanumeric characters in order to abuse JSONP endpoints, making a victim perform arbitrary requests to a domain with the vulnerable endpoint and exfiltrate potentially sensitive data, not limited to JSON responses, to any attacker-controlled site, he writes. So what this meant was that you could use Flash. If you could get somebody to go to a web page, you could get Flash to send you anything their browser was holding. So if they were signed into, say, a Google or YouTube or a Twitter account, you could have Flash stream out, well, not the credentials, but the contents of their session cookie. So you could do session stealing, you could do information theft. If they were signed into a bank account, you might be able to get it to stream out information from their bank account. Probably not their password, but enough that you probably didn't need their password. You could go in and change the password if you had something automated set up to, you know, grab a cookie, go in, change a password, right? So not the world's most devastating attack, but it's on a fairly big platform, so... again,
so what you're saying is Flash has another vulnerability?
Yeah, pretty much. Flash has another vulnerability. You're right. That's not really breaking news now that I think about it.
Oh, but it's still something that people should know about if you're not keeping up to date with it.
And Google auto-signed you into 1,000 things now.
Yes, it does. It is very annoying. In fact, I was working on my laptop on the show notes earlier, and I went to go sign in to Google Docs to work on the notes. And I mistyped my password the first time. If you uncheck that little box that says keep me signed in and mistype your password, when it reloads the page, it rechecks that. So I didn't notice it until after I'd hit enter after typing the password correctly that time. I was like, "What? Damn it." So, of course, you know, I had to go in and remove the account from my browser history. It's just like, my God, they're getting aggressive. Yarp. With this. So I'm probably going to be moving all the G15 stuff to an own cloud or something, because I'm really getting tired of fighting with Google.
I have a better Google Store crap story. You know when I formatted my laptop?
Yep.
At your, well, yeah, it was at your place. When I downloaded Firefox and got Google back up and running, it signed me in as Kaz.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, because you had grabbed a bunch of stuff out of his backup.
I had unfettered access to his stuff. Now, I didn't look through it because he's my friend and I'm not an asshole like that. Although I was really, really, really tempted to put Goatsy and shit in his email and send out weird stuff to his parents. And I was imagining doing all those things. I didn't, just in case he's listening and anyone wants to judge me. But that's how terrible Google is.
Yeah, he had, if I remember right, you had dumped out your Mozilla profile and a whole bunch of other stuff. And when you opened it back up, you had, because he had signed in on your machine like once, it signed you right into his account. No password or anything required.
He'd signed in. He had signed out. So at no point in time did I even think that I would have access to his stuff. I don't know if he was just hopping on my machine for a moment. Because whenever someone asks to use one of my machines, I don't care. If it's already logged in, I don't give a crap.
You don't get twitchy like I do when somebody else sits in on one of my machines.
No, he was probably playing a video game on it. But,
God,
I
wouldn't
had
share your
his
wife,
full credentials.
You?
I could have gone into Google Plus. I could have gone into any of his.
Well, you had his
online
email account. That's everything. I mean, how does everything do a
anything
password reset? Go through their email.
Anything social media wise, I could have embarrassed and screwed up his world. And that was from one login years ago, because he hasn't even been my roommate for years.
Yeah.
That's how messed up Google is when it comes to that stuff.
All right. Yeah, so I'm probably going to be trying to move all the G15 stuff off Google because I'm really tired of them. Let's see. Next one up is from BBC.com. Israel Missile Defense Notification Service Red Alert has teamed up with the unlikely hit app Yo to warn of incoming strikes, leaving many in the local tech scene more bemused than impressed. Yo users who follow Red Alert Israel with the app receive an alert whenever spotted attacks are inbound. Red Alert provides real-time warnings of mortars or missiles fouled into Israel by Palestinian militants. They get their information from the Israeli Defense Force and Homefront Command. So, Yo is a messaging app. It's kind of a SMS over the internet kind of thing. And, you know, you can send video, you can send quick little things. So, Red Alert has set up an account on it, if you follow them. I guess if you were in Israel, this would be a really handy thing, like, you know, incoming missiles, so you know to get under the table. And, you know, according to documentaries, a regulation school desk will protect you from a nuclear strike, so.
Or a tortoise shell.
You know.
I want this on my phone now, just because I want to see, yo, there's a missile.
Well, that's
this
pretty much what it is.
This needs to be said in the voice of a deep-throated black man from the South.
Yo, dog, there's a missile coming.
There's a missile. Yo. Ducka, ducka, Muhammad Jihad. Boom.
Well, I mean, stop and think about this. How cyberpunk is this? Your phone goes off. Incoming missile strike. I mean, you know.
Dude, this is not cool. Think about it. Yo, there's a missile coming. What? Dude, not even my darkest dystopian nightmares as a kid growing up in the 80s believing I was going to be nuked from fucking space. Did I think we'd have a little app that you could walk around with in your fucking pocket 2014 going, zzz, yo, missile incoming. Get into the shelter.
I mean, think about that. That's
think
just
about it.
Dark.
There's some dark shit. Oh, fuck.
Although, you know, at the same time, I guess if you were living in a war zone, it'd be pretty damned useful. I guess
oh,
if you're
better than looking up all the time,
it'd be if you were a Palestinian, it'd be handy too. You could follow it and say, "Oh, they saw that one. Damn."
reprisal coming.
What are they doing? Yo, was Twitter just too full?
Apparently, it's a popular app in Israel.
Okay.
So.
Hashtag the missiles.
Do they give you more characters or something? Because you can make some really funny "a missiles coming" signs.
Honestly, I'd never heard of the app before the story. I saw the story, so I cannot answer that question. But
probably
because
you don't have missiles coming in all the time.
You've got a smartphone, madman. Go find out. Install it and follow Red Alert Israel.
Well, they had actually 80 yesterday, so yeah, you'll probably be able to get a few.
I'll be sitting at work, my desk vibrating like mad as Israel's being bombed off the map by Palestinians.
Dude, think about the uneducated office workers. Look at this tweet I just got. Yo, missile coming. What?
You should have gotten under your regulation school desk.
Just set up the, when the message comes in, it's like, la 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 la, on your phone, man.
I still love the Minecraft mod that replaced the creeper hiss with that. Anyways.
Awesome.
That's so wrong. I love it. Next story up is from VentureBeat. The feds are going after Amazon. The Federal Trade Commission said Thursday morning that online retail kingpin unlawfully bilked parents for millions of dollars in unauthorized app purchases made by children. And now the feds want Amazon to return the money. The FTC filed suit in federal court this morning, alleging that no parental consent or passwords were required for kids to buy apps from Amazon's app store. That's a violation of federal law, apparently. The story just says that's a violation of federal law. Apparently, not having a password on your web page before you buy something is a violation of federal law. During a press conference in Washington, D.C. this morning, the FTC's Consumer Protection Director, Jessica Rich, laid out the government's case. Many millions were spent on unauthorized charges. This is about the age-old principle of consumer protection. We plan to obtain refunds and put it back in consumers' pockets, Rich said. So, I mean, I kind of go back and forth on this. It's not really.
I don't beat your children when they do something that stupid.
Well, think about it. Amazon had no way of knowing who was behind the, you know, the. I'm assuming this is the Kindle stuff because they're talking about apps, right? So they had no way of knowing who's holding the damn tablet unless you're turning the camera on all the time, going, "Oh, that's a child." I mean. Is that what the FC might be what the government wants? Turn the camera on and verify it's a child before you allow them to purchase anything. You know, maybe talk to them through the device as well. You know, have you seen your parents doing anything wrong? Are they growing green plants in the back? I mean, okay,
They already do that.
Yeah, I know.
It happens in primary schools.
Yeah. Did I make you sad, or did you not know that more? They interview your children at school.
No.
Yeah. You go to a public school, you've been asked, do your parents smoke pot, and do they touch you at night?
Yeah, and they also do a pre-psychology screening now, where most kids test pretty much positive for some sort of psychological disorder.
Well, I say it right there in the intro of the show, we're living in a police state, so.
Dude, there's an app that tells you when a missile's coming. Whenever someone tells me some crackpot shit now, I'm just going to go, dude, I totally believe you because there's an app that tells me when missiles are coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have believed this whole, well, they test every child in American primary school, middle school, I think it is, for psychological disorders, and 97% test positive.
That's because until you're fully mentally mature, you're a narcissist. And you're a psychopath until age 2. Everyone is a psychopath until at least age 2.
Also, too, the tests are incredibly biased as well.
Well, yeah, they've got a pharmaceutical industry to protect.
Exactly. Oh, it's not that. It's that you're literally programmed to only think about yourself at that age. You're geared for survival. The reason we're alive as a race is because 2-year-olds aren't strong enough to kill their parents.
Yet.
So, I don't know. Does anybody think the governments are in the right here going after Amazon for...
No.
No.
It is my responsibility to make sure my children aren't being morons and to beat them when they spend, when they max out my credit cards on Kindle crap.
I'd like the government to go after the drug dealer that was giving my kid drugs and get all that money back now that he's a full-blown heroin addict. Because he didn't have my parental consent.
Ooh.
That's what that's like, man.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, you bought that car at 16. I didn't give you the permission at 16 to buy that car. We're going to keep the car, but you're going to give us the money back on that because I'm pretty sure they're not deleting the apps. If you want to go ahead and delete all those apps, then we'll give you the money back. Till then, go suck a horse.
Go suck a... Wow. It has been the night for colorful metaphors.
Am I wrong? I mean, it's personal responsibility.
No,
you should
I
be
agree
watching
with
what your
you.
Children
I,
are doing.
I don't like that they're going after Amazon for this. I mean, both Amazon and Apple and Google all have had stories put out where they've, you know, refunded a family, you know, when the kids spent $500 on in-app purchases and the parents didn't know what they were doing. They've all worked with consumers. I don't see the reason for the government to get involved. If it's that big of an issue, enough people will complain that they will fix it.
What happened to an investigative news media that went, hey, by the way, do you realize your kids are actually downloading this shit without permission? Do you realize what your children are doing? Are you being a responsible parent? Where's your child at 11:30 at night? What are you doing at 11:30 at night?
I'm doing this podcast.
It became illegal. No,
yeah,
literally, in our country, if you do investigative journalism about the government, you can be labeled a terrorist and shipped off to Gitmo. If you do too much investigative reporting anymore about industry, they slap you with libel suits. That's why a lot of investigative reporting is stopped.
Once again, there's an app for missiles inbound. That's all I have to say on that.
All right, last story up here. This is from Ars Technica. The National Security Agency attempts to keep track of people outside the U.S. who use encryption and anonymization software from the Tor project, and also apparently capture the traffic of anyone reading a wide range of articles on Linux Journal. According to documents published by German public television broadcaster ARD and provided by security researchers and Tor contributors Jacob Applebaum, Aaron Gibson, and Leif Reich. The documents, which include what appears to be the search rules for the NSA's X-Keyscore Internet Surveillance System, indicate that the NSA also gathered up data on visitors to articles on the Linux Journal website. In the Das Erstes article, Applebaum wrote that the rule records details about visitors to a popular Internet journal for the Linux operating system called the Linux Journal and called it an extremist forum.
Because they want to use a free OS.
Because you're learning how computers work and, you know, how to operate outside the mainstream or something. Never mind the fact that Linux is like the server operating system.
They should teach that in middle school.
Yeah, apparently that's now subversive behavior.
Of course, it's not teaching you to buy either Windows or Mac, which is what was taught in computer class when we were in school. They didn't teach computers. They taught Windows and Mac.
Subversive behavior.
It's not subversive behavior. I mean, I can understand watching out a little bit for people doing encryption software. They can come up with a legitimate argument for that. I'm not going to believe them, but they can at least come up with an intelligent argument. Whenever you're saying everyone that's looking into how an operating system works is doing something subversive? No. They're learning about competition. Maybe they don't want to buy Apple shit or Microsoft shit. They just want a free operating system and they actually want to know how their computer works. That's being an informed consumer, an intelligent individual.
Yeah, understanding how computers work is dangerous. You get put on a list for that.
Just push the red button.
I'm sure I'm on several. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe I am probably on a handful of watch lists because of my job and my skill set.
Dude,
and
the amount of
nuts.
Trouble I have getting into America is a pretty good fucking thing that I may be on an international watch list. I don't care. Not every fucking person needs to be specially checked three times.
Well, it's that hobo beard you were going around with. You know, they confused you for a minute.
We can't screen intelligently because that's discrimination. We have to fill up Grandma as often as we fill up any bearded man from Yemen.
Well, I didn't take the flight in from Yemen this time. I came from Pakistan.
We have to grow up as many Australians as we do Yemens or Pakistanis, or we're being racist.
I mean, it's
you can't selectively target this.
When
the
I leave the country,
be carrying a fucking bomb.
Dude, when I leave the country, I get pulled out for special selection. You know, when I enter your country, I get pulled aside 3 times for special selection. 3 fucking times.
They
twice now.
They think you're running contraband.
You know, I only come over every 2 years. You know, what the hell?
I remember to remove all devices that tick when you go into the airport.
Yeah,
I ain't bringing a laptop next time. Buy one over there.
There was a an article. I was almost put it in decking, but I decided not to. British Airways is changing a bunch of their rules because apparently TSA is saying you can't bring a dead cell phone or laptop in. You have to have charge so they can turn it on and rifle through it at customs.
Yeah. I'm not bringing any laptop next time. I'll bring all my mic gear and stuff like that. But y'all double check that doesn't have to be powered up.
Yeah.
How stupid are some of these laws going to be?
If I ever fly through a TSA airport, which is all of them but two in this country, I'm showing up in a Speedo and flip-flops.
Good luck with that. You need pants to get on a plane.
I'll put them on at the airway. They'll be in my carry-on. But going through the strip search, I'm just going to be like, you want to pat me down? There's only one piece of cloth that could be hiding anything. And you can see pubic hair through that one.
They don't pat you down now anymore. You don't have the opt-out option. I tried to opt out this time. There is no opt-out anymore. You can't be patted down. You have to get through the scanner.
I want them to fondle my genitals. My genitals. I want them to fondle my genitals.
Unfortunately, Madman, they were very professional when they fondled mine.
You didn't lean into it. You see, if you're supposed to lean into it and let them know you're up for that.
I did exhale very hard, though, and give him a little cough. Make sure it was all working for him. But there is no opt-out anymore, man. You are going to get the rads as you go through.
But what if I'm scared of cancer? The cancers could kill me.
Just try telling them, I hear if you say you can't lift your arms, that they'll let you go through the magnetometer. Because, you got to hold your arms up to do the thing. So if you say, I have a medical condition, I can't lift my arms,
Look, I have screws in my ankle. That magnet could pull them out. No. I just think the TSA is a waste of money and time.
Hey, Madman,
look at all
the
bombings they've stopped.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the sound of no one disagreeing with you. All right, let's go on to this. All right, I got a couple of Windows goodies for Digital Dojo tonight. First one up is I got it from blogs.telerik.com. They were using it in conjunction with Fiddler, but it's actually its own project. It's called the Open Source Virtual Router Tool for Windows 7. It allows you to share your wireless-enabled PC's network connection as a virtual Wi-Fi router. Use it to create a new access point on your PC. And then on your device, you can connect Wi-Fi to the virtual router you created, and your traffic is flowing through your PC. So then you start Netmon or Wireshark, and you can get a full PCAP. This is for testing, like, cell phones and apps on your tablet and shit like that. But I can also see some fun shenanigans, at a coffee shop. It's a nice little quick GUI tool for setting up a Windows 7 box as a Wi-Fi router.
Not bad.
Yeah. So, I'm sure lots of stuff around already exists for doing this. It's called ad hoc networking. But if you actually want to set up a router and, have other people's traffic flow through it, or other devices' traffic, I should say. My first thought with this was not testing mobile devices. My first thought with this was Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do a man in the middle. I'm your router now.
Let me go get a copy of those Google and Yahoo certificates and or just go get a copy of the Yo certificate so I can let Israelis know the bombs are coming. That's not right. That's not right.
Look, here's your search results for best coffees at a Starbucks, and there's a missile coming.
Just insert that at the bottom of every web page. Just run a squid proxy right there on the By the way, there's a missile coming.
And
you
West
wonder
Bank
why you're
bombed.
On a list.
Have fun.
All right, last little quickie I have is from shingal.priv.at. This program is called the Link Shell Extension. This is a program that gives you a quick little shell extension, you know, when you right-click on something in Windows, to set up NFS links. If you don't know what those are, you can basically get Windows to lie about where things are on the hard drive. So if you want the same file to show up in multiple folders, or maybe you have multiple folders that you want to have show up under one folder, maybe you've got a program that, you know, only loads one VST folder and you have two VST folders because you wisely separate between your 32 and 64-bit plugins. No, I'm not bitter about FL Studio at all. you know, you can use this to set up NFS links so you can have a bunch of stuff show up in a folder when it actually lives in other places. Really, really handy if you're setting up network shares or if you have a program that you're trying to make work right. I actually have this because we were looking at it for a program at work that only really needs read it, or it says it needs read-write access to a whole file or whole folder, but it really only needs it to one file. So we're thinking about making a really complicated set of these to get read-only permissions on a bunch of documents and still let the program work with them. But pretty much what you do is this thing's an analog to the ln command on Linux. You install it, and you can make the same folder show up in multiple places, or you can make the same file show up in multiple places. It's not a copy and it's not a shortcut. It actually shows up on the file system as though the file lives in two places at once. I don't know if I'm explaining that really well.
Sort of.
Okay, if you took a text document and you had it under both your My Documents folder and maybe you had another folder out on your C drive called Text Files, well, you actually wrote the file in Text Files. You could then make a link to that file using this program under My Documents. And if you opened it in My Documents, it would open the same file as though you opened it from Text Files. But it's
not having to go around to different folders all the time.
Right. So it's not a link. It's not like a Windows shortcut. The file actually shows up in two places at once.
Yeah, I'm following you.
Okay. So there's some very useful system tricks for that. You know, hell, you just might want a bunch of your config files to show up on your desktop. And instead of doing shortcuts, you could actually do NFS links. This is, you know, shortcuts are useful for things like Windows Explorer, just opening crap. But if you've got a program that really needs, you know, that really needs it to look like these files are in one place, but you need to keep them in another place for whatever reason. Or another thing I'm probably going to be doing with it is if you set up a network share. A good trick with this is, let's say you have several physical drives. Well, with a network share, you could have, you know, drive 1 show up as a folder, drive 2 show up as a folder, drive 3 show up as a folder. So they're all in the same share. I still don't know if I'm explaining that really well or not.
Following you. I think playing around with it, you take much to get a handle around it.
Yeah. The other thing you can do with it, and this is great fun, is if you have somebody who's running some kind of a network scanner, you make a recursive loop. You make folder A with a subfolder B and a subfolder C, and then in subfolder C, you link back to A.
Mm-hmm.
This creates an infinite loop of folders. So if you've got somebody running a network scanner enumerating shares, you throw them at that, and they'll never get out of it. And it's just it's kind of like a tar pit, you know, it just trips them up.
Yeah.
So if you're building a honeypot, or if your web servers are another good place to do that. If you've got somebody enumerating folders on your web server, you can really screw with them by doing that. So that's all I got. Right at an hour. Not bad. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking is every Thursday. I think all the other shows are pretty much on hiatus at the moment. We need to get with Suave and see what's happening with the archives so that we can get some of the other stuff going again. Of course, the guy
Suave's adventuring, man.
Huh?
Suave's adventuring.
Yeah, he is. He was asking me about some of his projects earlier, and I applaud his efforts. I like where he's going.
So, yep.
Of course, listen to the stream. I was working on it. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the subreddit, the IRC channel, which I was not able to get into tonight. And worst case scenario, I believe Big is still accepting TCP IP via carrier pigeon. And
actually, if anyone's seen Big or has a Ouija board in which we can contact Big, that'd be great.
At this point, we're resorting to the Ouija board. So
yeah.
That's all I got. And you know what? I don't actually have any closing music tonight. So, I literally don't have anything set up on the tablet to play.
So just go ahead and hum Flight of the Bumblebee in your head, listener, as this stops.
Yeah, let's,
We could karaoke something. Anyone want to sing some Queen?
You go. Hey, right
who originally was the head of Queen, man, and sang for them?
Oh,
Freddie Mercury, was it?
Yeah, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, let's just keep it that way. You shut the fuck up.
Wow. All right, that's all I got.